WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. This year, the Baseball Writers Association voted Tom Seaver into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Seaver was a pitcher for 20 years and won 311 games while in the majors. Only 12 other pitchers have passed the 300 mark. The team he played with first and stayed with the longest was the Mets, and he helped turn this losing team into World Series champs. Since retiring after the 86 season, Tom Seaver has been a broadcaster for the New York Yankees. He's also become a wine collector, gardener, squash player, and skier. And he's immersed in baseball history. He's co-written a new book called Great Moments in Baseball. Seaver will be going to Cooperstown in August for the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. When the balloting was in, Seaver won by the largest percentage ever. I asked him how he took the news.
My initial reaction was total disbelief, and it's a kind of thing that is really reserved for the other players. They're kind of reserved for the people who were my idols when I was growing up. Those are the people. I think it's there. You always, at least in some sense, maintain that kind of relationship with the history of baseball. It is a game of idols. It is a game of worship, and it's a game of when you're a kid wanting to be like somebody. When I was, I wasn't necessarily a kid. I was a student at USC, and prior to that too. But my two heroes were Sandy Koufax and Henry Aaron, and I loved their approach to the game, and I loved what they did as professional athletes.
Any of the great moments in your book, Great Moments in Baseball, moments about you?
Oh no.
Why not?
I let somebody else put those in. Let's let somebody else write those books. I think it's not about me directly, but I think with some of the things that go on in baseball, Terry, become part of you. I mean, when I sit there and read about Walter Johnson and how he had these great confrontations with Three Finger Brown with the Boston Red Sox and the Washington Senators. I mean, it's just this piece of history, I think that becomes part of you and has become part of me before when I was going about my business. But there's nothing directly about me in this book, no.
Had you worried as a player what you would do after retirement? Did you not want to be in the position of thinking that all your most wonderful moments were behind you?
Well, not necessarily. I don't think wonderful moments is the right phrase. I think that your point is well taken. I did not want to be 38 or 40 years old and say the most rewarding and most challenging things I've ever had are gone and are behind me. That's a fair statement. I did not want that to happen.
How did you decide when the right moment was to retire?
I was on a bus ride going from O'Hare Airport to downtown Chicago, and it was about 2:30 in the morning, and I looked out the window, and I could see my reflection in the glass of the bus, and I just looked and I said, "What in the world are you doing on this bus?" And that was the final moment, and I said, "It's time to get out of here." I had gotten past 300 wins. I had gotten past 3,000 strikeouts. You know, unless you're Nolan Ryan, I mean, those are the normal things that that we mortals set goals. That's where we set them, you know. And so I'd gotten past those two aspects of what most every pitcher would love to achieve. And it was time to get off the bus. It was time to stay away from LaGuardia Airport. It was time to stop working 7 days a week.
You retired after the 86 season. What kind of shape is your arm in now? Does it ever give you trouble?
No, my arm. The only thing that bothers me is my left arm. This is after I was done as a player. And I felt I didn't want to hurt my right arm, and I guess instinctively, so I had put all my weight on my left shoulder, and my left shoulder still hurts me, and my left knee hurts me. But from a throwing standpoint, I have no problems whatsoever with my right arm.
Do you still throw a ball?
No, I don't pick it up because I can barely throw it about 50 feet now. I don't throw. No, I don't. Those days, Terry, those days are gone, believe me. They really are.
Let's go back to 1967 when you joined the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets were, I mean, this real losing team. I was living in New York then, and mm-hmm. everybody always made jokes about the Mets, although mm-hmm. everybody sang the theme song, too. I think maybe they were the only team with a theme song. Well, anyway.
I don't remember. That was that, the
you don't remember
song,
the Meet the Mets theme song?
The theme song was not, that was not my department.
Right. Well, did you want to play for the Mets, or were you sorry that that's where you were landing?
Well, if I can take you back and walk you through a little piece of Tom Seaver history. I was a student at the University of Southern California, and I signed a contract to play with the Atlanta Braves after I'd been drafted by them in 1966, and that contract subsequently was negated because the University of Southern California had already played a couple of games on their schedule. And then Walter Byers, in his ultimate wisdom, decided that my intent to be a professional was enough to take my scholarship away. So here I was, by the professionals, I was an amateur, and by the amateurs, I was a professional. I was neither fish nor fowl.
And you couldn't play with anybody.
That's right. And I lost my scholarship. Now I'm out of school. And so anyway, I called the commissioner's office, and I said, this is unfair to me. And they decided that anybody who would be willing to match this contract given to me by the Atlanta Braves, which was for about $50,000 back then, plus the finishing my money for the finishing my education, could put their names in the hat. And there were three teams, the Cleveland Indians, Philadelphia Phillies, and the New York Mets. And he told me about that prior to the selection of the team. But I remember talking to my dad about it. I said, gee, you know, if I go with the Mets, they're expanding. They probably are looking for young talent. And if I'm going to get to the big leagues, my chances are best with the New York Mets. So at that time, I was glad to be with the New York Mets because it was probably understood that it would be the quickest route for me to get to New York and get to the big leagues.
Do you remember the first game that you won?
First game that I pitched was against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I got a no decision, though. No, it was a fellow named Chuck Estrada, who was one of the baby birds, one of the great young pitchers that the Baltimore Orioles had back in the early 60s, and he won the game. And the next game I pitched against the Chicago Cubs. And I don't know the score, but I remember I won that ball game. And then I won my next game in Chicago 2-1. I remember that.
And
after that, we jumped right to 300. We skipped 288 games.
Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. My guest is Tom Seaver, one of the great pitchers in baseball history. Will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in August. He has a new book called Great Moments in Baseball. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Tom Seaver is my guest. How often were you in pain when you were pitching?
Not very often, Terry. I was very fortunate. I had for a 20-year period, a pain-free career. I had hurt my shoulder in Cincinnati. I got sick in spring training and tried to come back too fast and ultimately hurt my shoulder in 1983. That was a very scary moment for me because I'd never really been hurt. But one of the things, and we talked a little bit about this before, one of the things that I tried to do is understand the mechanics and the physical aspects of pitching. And I felt that if a pitcher was going to pitch a great number of innings over a long period of time, that the stamina had to be absorbed in the bigger muscles from the waist down, and your rear end and your thighs, and it couldn't be absorbed in the smaller muscles of the throwing shoulder. I mean, it just was logical sense, and I developed an excellent mechanical style.
Now, you're talking about putting the stress on the larger muscles.
Mm-hmm.
I think during one season you pulled a buttock muscle, mm-hmm. and that must have really kind of ruined that system.
It does for a while. When you go to throw a ball and it feels like somebody is sticking an ice pick right in your left cheek, and you know you're going to have problems. There's no way you're not going to have some sort of physical problems. I mean, but if you're going to have them, one of the things I always preached was that if you're going to have problems, have them in the lower half of your body. Have them, you know, don't have the problems upstairs. Don't have them in your shoulder or your elbow. If you're going to pull something down in the bigger muscles of the body.
What's the most tired you ever got during a game?
I think the most fatigued one time, I think I was 40, probably 40 years old, and I was pitching on a Sunday afternoon in Baltimore in July. First part of July was about 93 degrees and about 98% humidity, and it was a 3-1 ball game. And I was just, I was done. And Tony La Russa was the manager, and he wouldn't come to the mound, and he never came to the mound. I looked over a couple of times to see if he was going to come on and give me the hook and get me out of there, and he was hiding in the dugout. He thought I was still throwing extremely well, but I was exhausted, absolutely exhausted. But we won. We won 3-2. I gave up a home run in the ninth, but we won 3-2.
Do you think that life is very different, or that the game has changed, or even the salaries for the younger players today compared to what it was like when you were coming up? And are there things that maybe even alienate you about the game today?
There's nothing really in the game that pushes me away from it or alienates me. I still love the game of baseball, and it's a fascinating game when it's played. It always has been fascinating when it's played well, and it's a terrible game when it's not played well. And I felt that way as a player, and I feel that way as a broadcaster, and I feel that way sitting here talking to you today. One of the obvious difference in when I played and the game today is the amount of money that is in the game. It has a chance to affect the game from the standpoint of you may not see anybody reach 300 wins again. You may not see anybody achieve 3,000 strikeouts. You may not see anybody achieve 3,000 base hits. The reason I say that is that these players are going to make so much money in such a short period of time that they're not going to have to go through that period of a career where they have to contend with an injury. They have to contend with a subpar season. They have to contend with a sub-performance season later in their career. And I think a lot of these young players are just going to make so much money that they get an injury or they get a certain amount of time. They say, I don't have to do this because financially I don't have to anymore, and it's no fun. It's no fun being 8-15 one year, maybe because your shoulder hurts. And you're going to have to go through that. Every athlete from DiMaggio on down has had to do it.
What was that period for you? Were you real? If you could have, you would have gotten out, but you felt like you had to stay in it and work through a really bad period.
Well, we talked about that before. I got sick in spring training, and I was with Cincinnati, the club started badly, and I tried to come back too quickly because I knew they needed me, and ended up hurting my shoulder, and I was 5-13.
Right.
And one year I was 11-11. I had some shoulder, minor shoulder problem. Nothing major, but enough to affect my performance.
Yeah, but probably you could have left. You probably had enough money. I mean, if money was what it was finally about.
Well, money is part of it. Money is part of the equation. I mean, obviously, you can have to put kids through college, and you can set yourself financially. Certainly today, you set yourself financially for the rest of your entire life without ever working again if you don't want to. But also, you reach a point where you say, listen, I'm 34 years old. If I can play 6 more years, I got a chance to win 300 games if I average 15 a year. Now, it's easier said than done, but that's how you look at it. You reach the point where all of a sudden numerical goals become a possibility, not a distant dream. And that's what keeps you going.
Tom Seaver. Next month, he goes to Cooperstown to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.